Hey there, everybody. It is Wednesday, May 9th, 2012, and you are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken. As always, you can get in touch with us by dropping us an email and sending it on over to ken@thisshowissogay.com. Stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com to learn all about the fun things happening with our little gay radio show that could. And of course, go to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, like us, because we sure as heck like you. We are going to do Broadway focus this week. We are going to focus on the Great White and Rainbow Way. We'll learn about if it really is the Great White Rainbow Way when we speak with and welcome back to the show Tom Meiser, editor of the Broadway blog. Tom, welcome back to The Show Is So Gay.
I'm so glad to be here again.
Now, since your last appearance, much has changed in your life, has it not?
That is true. I didn't know you were going to bring that up here. I guess I can make this public to the world. I'm off the market.
You are off. People would like to know to what degree your engagement is tied to appearing on This Show Is So Gay.
Well, you know, you always inspire me.
I get that a lot. I get that a lot. I just want to know the ratio of how many guests get engaged after they appear on the show. I would like to say that our show can perform that service.
That is, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
You sort of send out your little Cupid arrows.
We do. I'm just curious if perhaps your fiancé said as part of the proposal, you know, I wasn't sure, but then I heard you on the show.
He did say that he thought my voice sounded sexy on radio. He finally gave in after 11 years together.
And for that, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Absolutely. Your invitation is in the mail.
Yay! Okay, we have so much Broadway to talk about. It is Broadway season because that's kind of obnoxious that it's Broadway season because the Tony Award nominations were announced, but it's kind of what we call Broadway season, is it not?
Yeah, actually, like April and May are the most intense season on Broadway because you've got the run-up of everything opening in time to be eligible for the Tonys in April, and then in May, it's parties and everything getting ready for the Tonys after the nominations come out. So it's fair to say this is probably the busiest time of year.
For those who are newly out or allies and didn't get their gay pamphlets yet, so they're not so sure what the significance is, there's theater, and of course that's T-R-E at the end, all over the country. What makes Broadway special?
Well, it's sort of a combination of two things. I mean, you can look at it cynically and say it just happens to be the tourist draw. New York City makes a lot of money having the center of American theater on Broadway and marketing it that way. And just like the Oscars are sort of a way to sell American movies, the Tony Awards are just a way to sell that product. But at the same time, New York has always been a draw for the best artists in theater. And so you do end up really getting the best of the best in New York City. So whether it is Broadway or off-Broadway or off-off-Broadway, theater in America is in New York City.
Okay. So now this show is so gay. How gay is Broadway?
Oh, just, you know, go to any number of the gay bars right off Broadway and you'll discover how gay it is. Pretty much every chorus boy and writer and actor on stage ends up there after the show. But, you know, it always has been a pretty gay art form. You know, you look at something like A West Side Story, probably one of the most classic musicals of all time, and everyone involved in that, the creation of that show, was a gay man.
Huh.
And that's still the case today. A lot of gay men, in particular, are attracted to working in the theater. You know, I don't have a big theory as to why, but it's always been a draw.
If you had to come up with a big theory as to why...
Sparkles.
Okay. It's the glitz.
It's the glitz and glamour. You know, I don't know. I think it's just a combination of an affection for the art form of music theater, which tends to be sort of the drawing point of Broadway, and, you know, probably a love of literature and the word and the written word and performance that you find in a lot of gay culture and a respect for that.
So we like the Broadway, the gays.
We do. And this year you actually it's sort of strange, but this year you even have an out lesbian represented as a playwright. Her play Wit is nominated for Best Revival of a Play. So it's not just gay men, it's gay women too.
That came out a few years ago, right?
10 years ago originally off Broadway, but it finally made it to Broadway this year in a production starring Cynthia Nixon. Another out actress.
Another out actress. All right, well, then let's morph right into talking about the Tony Awards. So the Tony Awards, to give people some history, named for Antoinette Perry, who, as we know, was a very famous drag queen, I assume.
don't even test me on the history of the Tony Awards. My knowledge of them starts when I was about 5 years old watching it on the TV. I don't go back to Antoinette Perry.
What do you remember about being a 5 year old watching the Tony Awards?
Oh my gosh. I remember, you know, it's hard to pinpoint what I remember from when I was actually five and what I remember from going to Sidetrack Music Theater nights in Chicago as a college student and watching clips from old Tony Award shows.
Wow.
But it's always been a part of my life. You know, you see those things and you see those clips from the Tony Awards and you think, I can't wait till I go and become a part of that somehow.
Look at that. Did your parents have a big Tony Award appreciation or a Broadway appreciation?
No, we had one cast album in our house. It was actually a reel-to-reel copy of Camelot because my dad was in the Navy, and during Fleet Week, they stopped in New York, and he went to see Camelot.
There are any number of jokes that I could make there, but I feel like perhaps I should refrain.
Yeah, leave my dad out of it.
Yes. Look, we could get him engaged by the end of this show. Now, we should say the Tony Awards, as they are televised, usually feature a number of amazing performances.
Yes, that is true.
Anything better than the Dreamgirls clip of 1984?
You know, that is absolutely one of my favorites, but I love the my favorite clip. You should go to YouTube and look it up. It's from Grand Hotel, and it is the most infectious number. I just go Tony Awards, Grand Hotel, and it's probably one of the most life-affirming, exciting, beautiful moments of dance. It's just incredible. It's the kind of thing that gets you want to be part of theater.
All right.
Look it up.
Any big Tony Award surprises for this year?
You know, the big surprise was just the number of awards for two indie shows. Once, the musical, took 11 nominations. It led the pack. And that's based on the film from a few years back, the Irish film, mm-hmm. won an Oscar. And then Peter and the Starcatcher got 9 nominations, the most for any play. And both of these are shows that started in the nonprofit world and worked their way up to become Broadway hits. And now they're leading the Tonys with the most nominations.
Well, let's talk about Once for a second, because you, we said this on the last show, but we'll remind people, you are an award-winning lyricist, librettist. How do we feel about the musicals that are based on a movie? First of all, have you seen Once?
I have, and I have to say it is probably my favorite show I've seen this year.
But is it any different from the movie?
You know, it is. They had to expand it because if you've seen the movie, it's a pretty...
it's a short movie, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just the two characters. And they expand the world a little bit, but it's still very true to the sort of the sweet romance of it. And it uses basically just the music from the movie and a few songs from the catalog of the two composers from the film, who also play the leads in the film. So basically, it's similar enough that you'll recognize it, but if you don't know the movie, it's not going to affect your enjoyment of the play.
But just as some folks do not enjoy the best adapted screenplay category there of the Oscars, do we have the utmost respect for the musicals that take a large amount of their content from a movie?
You know, I think adaptations have always been a huge part of musicals, and so you can quibble about some of them, and certainly this year you have Ghost, the musical, which opened, and that perhaps is a slightly more crass
right.
Taking of something from, you know, they literally wheel out the ceramic wheel.
Oh, my.
And it has amazing stagecraft, I have to say. I mean, they do things on that stage that it's just incredible with their ghost effects. But I think Once is a very different thing. They hired interesting playwrights and directors to work on it. And I actually think it's really wonderful. And, you know, just because it's taken from another work, again, West Side Story, that's Romeo and Juliet. It's what you do with the material that you're adapting that matters.
Okay. So we got Once. What else jumps out at you? Newsies, quite a few nominations.
A lot of nominations for that. I believe it was 8 nominations for that. You know, it's just a big, fun show with a lot of very cute young guys dancing.
Now, I never saw the movie.
You're not alone.
Oh, really? I thought I was the only one who had never seen the movie.
No, that was not a big hit. It was, you could say it was ahead of its time, but that might be giving it a little too much credit. Christian Bale singing and dancing, pre-Batman. But, yeah, they've turned something that was a property that people sort of have loved on disc and sort of had a cult following.
Right.
And turned it into a big hit musical. And it's going to run forever.
Oh, do you think?
Oh, yeah. This thing is huge. I mean, people eat it up. The teenage girls were going nuts. I mean, the boys are just incredible in it. The dancing is out of control.
Wow.
Choreographed by Christopher Gattelli, a friend of mine who choreographed it. And mark my words, he's got the Tony for best choreography.
Done. It's a lock. All right. We can put money down on this show, So Gay Predictions. We love that. All right, so we got Newsies and Wit. What else? What else got a ton of nominations?
The other big surprise was Porgy and Bess. The revival of Porgy and Bess, which was very controversial earlier in the year because Stephen Sondheim, the great and legendary composer-lyricist, came out and complained that they edited the show down from the original opera by the Gershwins and made this sort of musical theater-friendly version of it.
Huh.
And here it is now with 10 Tony nominations. So clearly the edits didn't bother people.
And Audra McDonald nominated for her 18th Tony.
I believe somewhere in that vicinity, yes.
Now we should say she has only won 14 of them.
That's true. Her
right.
record is really sad when you look at it.
She had to go on a Shonda Rhimes show
exactly.
just to get her career back.
But really, when it comes down to it, you think Meryl Streep has an amazing record. Audra McDonald at the Tonys, basically she gets nominated, 75% of the time she's on stage. That's not even a stretch.
Gosh. And she's young.
She is. She's very young. I mean, she could rack up another 15, 20, 30 nominations if she goes at this rate.
Have you seen her in things?
I have.
What have you seen her in?
Pretty much. I saw her in Porgy and Bess, and she's incredible.
Yeah.
She deserves everything she gets. She's truly one of the best combinations of actress and singer that we have in the music theater. She just is amazing.
I saw her in Ragtime. But then she died in the first act. Oh, I shouldn't have ruined that for people. She dies in the first act, and there's some problems with race relations there in the musical, if you haven't seen it. And then I left after the first act. Because I was young, and I didn't really have a sense that it was a musical that I should have stayed the whole time for. So I went. But I feel like I kind of stayed because I went with a friend of mine. Shout out Christine Deegan. We left after the first act and went to Rosie's 2 in Midtown and sang Suddenly Seymour. So it's kind of like I stayed.
It really is, and I believe Suddenly Seymour is echoed in the second act of Ragtime. I think there are shout-outs to that show.
I think so. The city is on fire, so is my heart when I sing Suddenly Seymour. So I think that...
Are you going to break into a little for me now?
In my head, it started at least 4 minutes ago, and it's only a three-minute song, so it's looping. It's looping.
Nice.
And I tell people that I saw Audra McDonald, it's a total lie, though, when they did the Dreamgirls benefit concert after 9/11. Because I've listened to the cast album so many times, I can do every little hitch, tick. It's amazing what I can perform from that.
Nice. It's impressive.
Isn't it?
You tell me all the time that you do not love your music theater, but...
No. That's not true. I don't like Sondheim.
Oh, that's right.
I love musical theater. I don't like Sondheim.
You don't like the fact that Follies got a ton of nominations.
I don't even really know Follies that well.
You should listen to it. It's really an amazing, amazing show. The big surprise there was that there are four lead characters, and three out of four got nominations for Best Actor or Actress in a Musical, except Bernadette Peters.
Oh, do you know, I was just going to say, why don't I try to get the fourth one on the show, because they probably feel bad, and then it turns out it's Bernadette Peters, and I don't have a shot in hell.
You never know. She might not be busy right now.
Yeah, right. Ugh, I didn't get nominated for a Tony. I should go on a local Vermont radio show.
She loves the gays.
She loves the gays. She loves the gays. Now, we should say, there's a lot of, shall we say, chest-bearing in many of the Broadway shows.
Yes. I'm glad you brought that up.
It's a very naked year.
It is a very naked year. Between Newsies, if you'd like your prepubescent chest-bearing, although they actually are all of age, but they're supposed to be 14, which is kind of messy.
Okay.
And then you've got Ghost, which I brought up earlier, which literally got a gasp from the audience when the leading man took off his shirt.
Well, because it was that much of a sight?
Go look at their website.
Okay.
You will not need to hear him sing. The angels will sing enough. And then there's a revival of A Streetcar Named Desire. Blair Underwood from TV's, I think he was on L.A. Law.
Of course he was on L.A. Law.
He is playing Stanley, and he comes out and takes off his shirt, and there are literally catcalls and whistles. Now, normally that does not happen during a Tennessee Williams play.
No.
But look at.
Okay, we gotta go look that up. And gay favorite Stockard Channing nominated for a Tony.
Yes, she is, and she's probably in the most exciting category of the year. Best actress in a play is incredibly packed. I mean, you've got Cynthia Nixon, Stockard Channing, Linda Lavin of Alice fame.
Love it.
Who's amazing in The Lions. You have Tracy Bennett, who plays Judy Garland in End of the Rainbow. And you have Nina Arianda in Venus and Fur, who's just probably been one of the biggest finds of the last 2 years. Just came out of nowhere, and this is her second Tony nomination.
And for folks who want to see Spider-Man without going to see Spider-Man, they can go see Death of a Salesman.
Exactly. Although I think your chances of getting tickets for that are about the same as getting opening weekend tickets for the Spider-Man movie, because that has been such a huge hit, Death of a Salesman on Broadway, that unless you have connections with Mike Nichols, you probably can't get a ticket now.
I really don't think that I do have connections with Mike Nichols. But it's okay, because I have to tell you. In my Stephen Sondheim can't stand him category, I also cannot stand. I'm not usually this negative about people. Cannot stand Philip Seymour Hoffman.
You are not alone on that.
Oh, good.
Many people I've talked to have the same reaction, who go, oh, I don't know. And I think, you know what I think it is? Because I don't know the man personally. If you look back at his early roles, he was always playing so, for lack of a better word, skeevy.
Ugh, smarmy and ugh.
I think it affects how we think of him. I mean, I was just watching The Talented Mr. Ripley the other night again, and he is so brilliantly gross in that movie that I think it affects how you think about this man.
I really, which testifies to the fact that I can't draw a distinction between reality and the movies. That's okay. That's okay.
All the same for you.
Now, over in, we got to just talk about all these gay favorites, Judith Light.
Oh, yeah, Judith Light is amazing, and she's up for a featured actress in a play in Other Desert Cities. And I have to say, she is really probably one of my discoveries of the year. You know, you think of her as Who's the Boss and her Lifetime movies, and she's had a distinguished theater career, but this blew me away. She really is giving a great performance on Broadway if you have a chance to see that play. And I would highly recommend it.
Well, in that category of best actress in a featured role, you have Celia Keenan-Bolger.
Oh, yes.
Now, big story there that I was telling you this the other day. You know, it's kind of like the Venus and Serena thing, and then you named all these other people that I'd never heard of. That a sibling duo is such at the top of a craft is quite impressive, given how exclusive of a craft it is.
It is. In fact, I thought there was going to be a brother-sister nomination this year because her brother, Andrew Keenan-Bolger, is in Newsies playing Crutchy, the main supporting role. And I thought for sure they couldn't resist giving a brother-sister nomination. Didn't happen for him, but they truly are, you know, the wunderkind duo of Broadway. And he's very popular on the internet as well. He created a web series called Submissions Only with his friend Kate Weatherhead about Broadway theater, and it's been very popular, a huge hit. So he's not crying too hard about the nomination.
I was nervous that he peaked when I saw him in Seussical, because as I have said many a time on this show, Seussical, the pinnacle of Broadway.
Is that your favorite? Seussical is the best.
I don't even understand how you can say the two in the same breath. It is an insult to the cat, to the hat, to the cat in the hat. I mean, really, it's
you're the fickle one. You hate Ragtime by the same people who wrote Seussical.
Well, now I will tell you, I did not appreciate Ragtime as much as I appreciate it now. So I do appreciate it a lot more. I did not appreciate it at the time, and then I don't know. I just you know, again, it's kind of like what I don't like about Sondheim. It's when something really unexpected happens in that first half of the musical, I'm kind of done and close the book on it. And Ragtime could be the first musical, for the first act of the musical, Into the Woods could be the first act of the musical, and I'd be fine with both of those.
Do you prefer they were one-act plays?
Yes. It's just then they move on to the second act, and it's all downhill from there. So
done. Audra's gone, and you're done.
Because she was dead. I'm done. She came back in a flashback, and they gave her the Tony. So those are my tastes.
I have to say, there's one major couple that we have not talked about, which is should be of particular interest to your listeners, which is probably the gay power couple of the year on Broadway, and that is Rick Ellis and Roger Rees. You may know Roger Rees. He was on Cheers as Rebecca's boss that she was in love with, the British boss.
Okay.
Where you might know him from. But he's a classically trained British actor, and he's directed Peter and the Starcatcher, which is directed by his partner, Rick Ellis. And they are both up for Tonys this year, and they are sort of the star couple of the year.
Huh. I did not even know. I think Cheers is more your generation than mine.
Oh, now stop.
Wait, what? I can only do that with a select few guests. This is so exciting.
Yeah, no, it's me and the Honeymooners. That's what you're going to say next. And I'll have nothing.
I would never say that out loud. Can we talk about Alan Menken for a second?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. He has three shows on Broadway at the same time. And that is, I don't think it's a record. I think Andrew Lloyd Webber's done it. But it's amazing to see for this man who has had a long and fruitful career, but never had the sort of Broadway props, because Little Shop didn't actually make it to Broadway until later.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's got Newsies, A Leap of Faith, and Sister Act all on Broadway at the same time. And I would suspect he's probably got the Tony for Best Score in the bag.
That's very exciting. And I will say, I very much appreciated the shout-out there on the Broadway blog to Howard Ashman.
Yeah, I mean, that is the only sad thing about seeing him, Alan Menken, get the nominations this year is it's just that his original partner, Howard Ashman, who died from AIDS, right during the height of their success when they were writing Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, and Little Mermaid for Disney, it's sad that he can't be there for it. And I know that all of us who love our music theater, and in particular seeing part of your world in our beds at night, in our Little Mermaid sheets, will be sort of watching that night thinking of Howard Ashman.
Tom Miser's tricks to getting engaged. You're just revealing a new one with every... with every new sentence. Now, there are a host of shows that are not new, but have nonetheless been playing on Broadway for quite some time. What's still out there that people are flocking to see, even though it's been out there for years?
You know, you've got the perennials. You can't stop Lion King.
Okay.
You can't stop Wicked. Spider-Man is doing really well.
What? Oh, I had no idea.
It is. It's making, I think, its box office is in the 1.3 million... every week.
Okay.
Makes sense. Yeah, and that's huge numbers. So they're laughing their way all the way to the bank.
Huh. And people are still going to see Wicked and Lion King.
Oh my gosh, they're still sold out most weeks, and you can't stop them. They're just juggernauts.
Phantom isn't still there, is it?
It is.
I was actually kidding, and it turns out it is. Now, people say that Phantom is where, if you're coming straight out of NYU, you could end up the lead in a musical.
I'm not sure that's true. They usually cast people slightly older to play the Phantom. I guess Christine's could be that young. But,
exactly.
You know.
Wait, you've been on Law and Order? Come on over. We can. We've a part for you.
No, but the thing is with that show is that once people are in that show, they stay in that show. They've got people who've been doing it for 10, 15 years.
Wow. You know,
it's like an annuity. You stay in that show, you put your kids through college.
Now, I had thought, by the way, with the Tonys, and I'm looking through the list right now, wasn't there a category, and I'm totally getting this wrong now, what was the category that Bea Arthur was in and that Elaine Stritch was in? Wasn't there a special category for like a spoken word kind of thing?
They had a category some years for, I forget exactly what it was called, but like for special events where they put shows or shows that weren't technically plays or musicals. But this year they did not feel anything qualified, and they did not have that category. So no nomination for – was Carrie Fisher this year?
I thought also Kathy Griffin was this year, but maybe that was last year.
She, you know, she did try to qualify, but they canceled that category. So
wow.
To try again.
I think those two things are connected. I would love to start that rumor right now.
They saw the bald-faced attempt to get a Tony nomination and just went for it.
They issued a press statement that said that may fly with the Grammys, but that's not going to happen here with the Antoinette Awards named after the drag queen.
Because it is a serious event.
It's
none of that guff.
Now, and folks can, of course, go to New York City and I would assume still be able to go see Leader of the Pack starring Dinah Manoff.
Only if they come over to my apartment and I do my rendition of it.
I know every word. I have it on vinyl in the apartment.
Girl groups from the 60s are my life.
Look at that.
Other than Sondheim, which we don't agree upon, we can agree upon 60s girl groups.
I love that we can bill this not only as talking about Broadway, but Tom's tips for getting engaged. These are all the things that you need to espouse in order to attract the right suitor.
It's true.
It's true.
It really is true. That and whiskey usually work for me.
Family show, Thomas. Family show. Now, who's hosting this year? Do we know that yet?
Neil Patrick Harris is being brought back.
Of course.
Because he has been a proven sort of showman, really, other than Hugh Jackman. He's the one who's brought in ratings and great word of mouth, and you can count on him to do some great numbers.
I enjoy him immensely.
He is lovely, isn't he?
I just recently again watched for the umpteenth time Dr. Horrible's sing-along. So enjoyable. So, have you not seen this?
I have seen
that. Oh, okay. Gosh, you just had me a little bit worried. Now, other things going on Broadway. So Broadway Bears, as we mentioned, Naked People, but this time very much sanctioned and in one place. That's coming up.
Absolutely. The big thing in June is all the build-up to Broadway Bears, the burlesque show featuring the hottest dancers on Broadway stripping.
Nice.
For charity.
For charity. I love you. You could just add for charity, and it's okay.
They throw that in, you know. But, yeah, and there's events all month for the next month and a half leading up to it where you can go to most of the gay bars in the city. We'll have a couple Broadway dancers stripping for cash.
So, love it.
And it's all in the name of charity.
And speaking of that Dreamgirls concert that I didn't see but tell people that I did, Heather Headley returning to the stage.
Yes, Miss Heather Headley, as I always call her.
I don't call her that. I just call her Heath. Okay.
She's Ms. Headley.
Nice.
She actually went to Northwestern at my alma mater, and I knew her, and I always tease her because she plays just queenly characters. And now, after a long absence from the theater, she's returning to the stage in the, wait for it, you ready?
Uh-huh.
The London production of The Bodyguard, the musical. Speaking of film adaptations.
Now, if you'll recall earlier in the show... We were talking about film adaptations. Yeah, okay. I mean, I do feel like we can't say anything bad about that right now.
No, I mean, you've got to wait. It's interesting because they are using songs from the film and from Whitney Houston's catalog.
Oh. Oh, it's like a jukebox musical, too.
Yeah, it's a fascinating thing. I mean, on paper, it sounds like interesting. But Heather's presence certainly gives me hope because she's waited a long time to make this decision. And I have talked to her before that we were all clamoring, saying, come on, do another show, do another show. Because it's really been since Aida, her Tony Award-winning performance. And she said she was looking for the right property. She was going to wait until she found the right thing. And for her to leap at this tells me there must be something she sees. She wouldn't do it otherwise.
Huh. And I do adore her. And I do have, like, albums of hers. I don't know that I've ever listened to a single song on them, but I felt that it was important that I purchase them.
To support Ms. Headley.
Yes. Yes.
It's always good.
Now, I also saw in the play world, and now we should say, the plays don't do as well as the musicals, correct?
In generally, yeah. They're also not in big as... The theaters aren't as big.
Okay.
Their potential for box office is not as big, but, you know, Death of the Salesman is doing huge numbers. But, yes, in general, they do not do the same numbers.
But there is a play. Is it coming out? Or it's in previews off-Broadway, actually just last week. How do we talk about a play where we can't even really say its name?
I'm glad you said that because I was about to say the name of it. I'm actually seeing it, and I cannot wait to see this play. You actually can call it the cockfighting play.
Okay.
That's how they're terming it on their website. That is an extension of the real title, if that helps anyone, because it is... It's a sort of a controversial play out of Britain about a man who has a longtime partner who's a man, and then he falls for a woman. And it is sort of, you throw these three people into a ring and watch them battle it out over sort of our post-gay society of where are those lines and what does it mean?
Huh. Okay, so you got to tell us how that one is then.
I will definitely let you know after I see it.
Now, have you seen shows in London?
You know, I haven't been in probably 2 years, a year and a half, 2 years, but every time I go, I sort of binge on theater.
Is that a different experience than seeing them in New York City?
It is, mainly because it's just cheaper.
Oh.
A lot of it is state-supported, so you can get tickets to amazing theater at a discounted rate because the government supports theater there. There's also kind of a wider range of stuff you wouldn't see on Broadway, because for some reason, theater in London tends to range from sort of silly sort of farces to very serious, intricate, deeply felt plays that, you know, Broadway, which is trying to target the tourists, may not go to those extremes.
Mm-hmm.
But in London, you can kind of see everything from the greatest Shakespearean actors to, people running around and making flatulent jokes.
Of course, as naturally we would.
I'm not going to say which one I prefer more.
Okay.
I don't want to incriminate myself.
No, I would rather not, except that, again, it could be another tip for people to find a fiancé. Now, last time you were on the show, we talked about ways that people can find affordable tickets, but let's go the other direction. If I am looking to have the most... Yes, I want to just have a night of total extravagance. Say my sophomore year in college roommate has some money and he wants to take me out.
He's just created Facebook and he's got 700 billion to spend on you.
Or it's Thomas Gensimer. But, if he wants to take me out and we want to have just a ridiculous night out and I want to sit in the second row of Wicked, what is it that I am telling him to shell out?
You are going to be shelling out probably $500 for each ticket.
Wow.
For premium tickets. And I'm using that based on what Book of Mormon is actually selling premium seats for. Especially if you buy a seat a day or two before, you could be easily running $500, $600 a ticket.
Look at that. And then, of course, we need to go out to the hottest spot afterwards. Is Sardi's even still there?
It is still there. It is. They're still putting up sketches on the wall. Still have the caricatures.
Okay, so we could go to Sardi's.
You could go to Sardi's. Though if you want to see your Broadway dancers, there's a restaurant called Sosa Barilla. This is my little tip for the day.
Okay.
Every Broadway dancer that I know goes there for margaritas or sangria after their show. So that's my tip. If you want to see some cute dancers after your night at the theater, go.
Now, I will tell you, because I did my research, the first time that they handed out Tony Awards, they actually gave an award to Sardi's.
They did. So you know more than I do. You don't need me. You've never needed me. That's why I had to turn elsewhere to get engaged.
I have so many comments, and that made me sad and happy, and I can't sort that out. I should put music to it, and then I have a musical. Although it's very interesting, people coming up with new ideas, because I think that if you want to just figure out, all right, what's going right with Broadway these days, what's going wrong, I just feel like people can just listen to title of show, and they'll get a good summary of how people feel.
Absolutely. I mean, those guys are as connected and inside the world and were as honest about it as possible. I mean, their show alone was just a perfect example of something starting as just a little idea for a festival, and it ended up on Broadway. They actually had a new show that was at the Vineyard just a couple months ago called Now, Here, This. I think that's what it was called. Now, period, here, period, this, period. The same people wrote a new show, and it's amazing to see them sort of build a career.
There you go. I just feel like now, though, you can't sit down and write a musical that's ironic about Broadway because it's been done and probably better than you would come up with.
Well, I'm
not you, Thomas, but...
Do better. Well, no. I tend to be a little more sentimental with my work, so I'm probably not going to write the irony-laced show, but I do have respect for that a lot. I think it has been done. Between that and Urinetown, I think the sort of ironic take on music theater has been done. Now it's time to kind of go back to its roots and really just tell great stories, and I think that's what's come back. People are excited to see just a great, lovely story like Once that is so sweet and romantic and has good music.
Now the number one question that people wrote in after you were on the show the first time, people want to know, when is Heathers the Musical coming out?
You know, I haven't heard anything since it had its tryout sort of workshop reading last year. There's not been a word, so I don't know whether it was either going back for more work and they felt it wasn't ready to be seen, or if there's something else going on with it, but it's been very quiet on the Heathers front.
But I thought that was yours. I thought that was your idea.
No, I lost the rights.
Oh.
Can I tell you the saddest story of my writing career? Well, not the saddest, but the saddest I can tell on the air.
I associate it with you.
Because my writing partner and I actually had the rights to write a musical of Heathers good 10 years ago. When was it? And Columbine happened.
Oh.
And we thought at the time, you know, and some advisors of ours said, I don't think people are ready for a musical right now where, not to bring this conversation down, but where it's all about people shooting up a high school.
Yeah.
And we let the option pass, and the rest is now history. Someone else has it.
All right, we're gonna help you get it back. Do you want it back?
I want it back, or get me Mean Girls. Let's be fresh.
Okay.
Mean Girls now.
I was gonna get you Silence of the Lambs, but apparently that's taking off again.
It is. It's done very well, and bring it full circle. Directed by Christopher Catelli.
Look at that. It's all connected. Now, if folks,
very small world.
It is a very small world. Now, if folks want to just, in the comfort of their cubicles, read all about amazing things happening on Broadway with insights, where would they go?
Why, maybe they should go to thebroadwayblog.com. You know, it's my website, my blog, that we really try to be the insider voice that's celebratory and fizzy and fun, and try to capture this sort of conversation that just should feel like you're sitting with friends talking about theater instead of being sort of force-fed something by the PR department or being too snarky. I get tired of people talking about theater in a bitchy way.
Yeah. No, I don't like that. I don't like that. And we should say, I set aside time on my show to talk about theater because I think it is an art form that we need to be talking about more. It is much more nuanced and unpredictable and tugs at the heartstrings than going to, even though we love the movies, it's just a much different experience that everyone should have.
Yeah, I mean, face it, we have so much of our life now is spent in a screen, whether it's your iPhone or going to the movies or watching TV or your computer. To be in a space with people watching something live, it just is so different and so exciting, and truly anything can happen. I mean, things go wrong. The night I saw Ghosts, they were 20 minutes from the end of the show, and you heard this crash, and they brought in the curtain because the set fell apart right in the middle of the leading lady's 11 o'clock number.
Oops.
You know what? That's live theater, folks.
Love it.
It makes for a lot of fun.
I never saw Rent, which I saw, you know, probably five times. I never saw Rent without seeing the two characters crack up during their tango. The tango Maureen. All five times, the two of them cracked up.
That's amazing.
Completely different actors. So I don't know if other people, if you've had that experience of watching the Tango Maureen and seeing the actors crack up, please drop me a line at ken@theshowisogay.com.
That actually reminds me that there's a show on Broadway that just opened that's up for a few Tonys called Nice Work If You Can Get It. It's a new Gershwin musical. They've sort of taken the old famous tunes and put them into a new show. And one of the sort of fun things about the show, it's a very light piece, but it stars Matthew Broderick and Kelly O'Hara. And it feels like, I'm going to date myself again, but a Carol Burnett sketch, you know, they're cracking each other up, and there are at least twice the night I saw it, they started to lose it. And, you know, in the right show, it can be a lot of fun, and it makes it feel like you're in on the joke, that we're all just having a good time together, and you can't get that many places.
Now, Carol Burnett, that's the woman from the older Annie movie.
That's right.
Okay.
Yes, exactly.
Just wanted to check in on that one. Thomas Meiser, I feel that everyone should stroll on over to thebroadwayblog.com. Congratulations, and you're welcome on your engagement. And we'll have to do a post-Tony wrap-up.
Absolutely. I would love to do that.
And pleasure, as always, having you on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
High on a hill was a lonely goat herd, lay, or lay, or lay, ee-hoo. Loud was the voice of the lonely goat herd, lay, or lay, or loo. Folks in a town that was quite remote herd, lay, or lay, or lay, ee-hoo. Lusty and clear from the goat herd's throat herd, lay, or lay, or loo.
Folks, and we are back. Hello, Jody.
Hello, Ken.
What I've decided to do for this last segment, we don't have a ton of time left, is I put together the most depressing gay stories that I could find, which wasn't terribly difficult because it encapsulates everything that's going on in gay news right now. And it's kind of apropos because you're coughing up a storm.
Yes.
I got hit by a car.
Yeah.
I really got hit by a car.
I know, you really did, and I really am coughing a lot. I hope I won't cough much.
You won't cough much. My broken wrist and fractured elbow will be just fine. Yeah. It was an act of homophobia, both your virus and me getting hit by a car.
That's right.
Don't you think?
Attacks on gays.
Speaking of, Now, would you like to say what you said right before we got on the air about North Carolina?
I don't think I can.
Yeah, I could bleep it out.
Yeah, there was an expletive with an F in it.
So it is, as we said at the top of the show, it is Wednesday, and yesterday on Tuesday, May 8th, North Carolina passed their constitutional ban on marriage equality. Now, holy cow, there's a lot to talk about here, and so much depression on so many different angles.
Yeah.
Now, to remind them that this was not a ban on gay marriage. They already had a ban on gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
This was an amendment written into their constitution to ban same-sex marriage.
Mm-hmm.
It was saying, you know, it's just not enough for us to ban gay marriage. We need to write it into our constitution, our central document, lest the gays or the activist judges think that they can do something we don't want them to do. So there was about a 20-point difference, 61% in favor, 39% opposed. They're still counting a little bit more. They became the 30th state to approve a constitutional amendment prohibiting marriage for same-sex couples. It's 9.7 million residents in the state. This is from the Human Rights Campaign. Quote, the passage of Amendment 1 is a heartbreaking loss for families in North Carolina, but will not stop us in the march toward full equality. As the country continues to move in the direction of marriage equality, our opponents have cynically interrupted the important conversations taking place, which lead to increased understanding and acceptance. So that's the story.
Mm-hmm.
In a few short months, the Democratic National Convention. You know where the Democratic National Convention is?
Is it in North Carolina?
It's in North Carolina! It's in North Carolina. So on the one hand, yeah, I mean, people are going to think, is there something wrong with the audio? There's all these dramatic pauses. It's almost, I think after my rant of last week, it's almost inconceivable to even talk about this because it's just so ridiculous. It is so ridiculous. So we'll do a little bit of a positive spin, but mostly let's be depressed. Following the passage of Amendment 1, a group of LGBT couples in North Carolina will request marriage licenses. They're going to be requesting them in protest for full federal equality. Marriage licenses for same-sex couples would have been denied regardless of the amendment's passage, but participants of the We Do campaign want their anti-gay adversaries, quote, to know that there are people all across our state and all across our country who are ready to stand up for their full equality. We want them to know that this story is far from over. So you can check out the We Do campaign, and you can just Google We Do or use your favorite internet browser and you will find that. So that's some folks who are trying to make a difference and get their voices heard in that way.
Mm.
But returning, I think no one should go to North Carolina. You know, I was reading all of these, I don't know how many feeds, Facebook feed comments were on your page, but it was just riddled with North Carolina, and people were saying, stop hating on North Carolina. You know, the people that, not everyone, there's still 39%, not everyone was for Amendment 1.
Sure.
I think, and I believe this, that everyone should move out. I think all the gay people should leave. I think we should work on bankrupting that state.
That's an option. I mean, or the people who really don't agree really need to speak out more.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no idea what the advocacy efforts have been like down there. I'm guessing that some people have probably been working really hard.
They were really extensive. And in the more populated places,
yeah.
Amendment 1 was most assuredly defeated.
Right.
But in the rural counties
of
North Carolina, overwhelmingly.
Yeah.
I think that the Democratic National Convention should not be there. I know
that I agree with.
I know that it's too late to change it, but I think it shouldn't be there. I think that if you are listening to this and you're a member of a professional organization, as I know many of you are, say you're one of our fellow student affairs people and you're a member of NASPA or ACPA, I think that any time they propose that a conference be held in North Carolina, you say, you know what? I don't want it to be held in North Carolina. Now, there are conferences that have been scheduled years in advance, because that's how you schedule conferences.
Right.
And that's what happened this year with the NASPA conference, the National Association of Student Personnel Administrators, because we had booked this conference years ago in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And folks had said, well, we need to not be in Arizona now because of their ridiculous immigration laws and because their governor shakes her finger at the President of the United States.
Right.
But it was too late to really move it. So
that's
probably the case for any number of conferences in North Carolina. But if you're sitting around the table and they're saying, hey, let's do this in Raleigh, what are other places in North Carolina?
Durham.
You should say, no, I don't think that we should hold it there. And I don't know who that punishes. And I think someone's going to write us, send us an email if it's angry. Send it to Jody at thisshowsogay.com if it's supportive. Ken at thisshowsogay.com. And someone's going to write us and angry and say that punishes the wrong people. I don't really care.
Right. And I live in Asheville and we didn't vote for this.
Exactly. I think that we should work on just, they're saying, look, they are saying gay people are not welcome here, period. Done. End of story.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think we should go.
I have no plans on going, although it makes me sad because I have friends who live down there. I would love to see
them. I don't think you should be friends with them anymore. I think that is exactly what I'm saying. So let's extend this. If you're sitting around the table, they're proposing a conference. Absolutely. If you're looking at a mail order business and you want to order something from a place and it's in North Carolina, don't order from there. Order from someplace else. I don't know. But I think even more importantly, if you have friends or family there, you need to distance yourself from them.
No.
Well, let's evaluate. How important are these people?
They're important people.
Let's give them shout outs.
Mike and Laura Hunter are really lovely people.
Mike and Laura Hunter, you have until August to move out. Or Jody is saying, that's it. That this friendship has run its course. And it's a law of simple geography. You know, I'm obviously in some ways kidding, but I'm also, and I'm not suggesting that we not be friends with people, but I think this is the succession to last week's show of, that wasn't last week, was it? Maybe that was a couple weeks ago. I don't even know.
It was a couple weeks ago.
It was a couple weeks ago when I just had a really random rant.
Yeah.
This is now the next step. This is the next step of my evolution. And we're going to talk about the evolution. This is the next step of my evolution. I have no tolerance at all anymore, I think, for anyone. So good luck with the future shows.
Great. So you've now become.
I'm bitter.
You're the.
Also, I get hit by a car, so I'm really bitter.
You're the conservative left.
I am the Oh my god! I am the extreme left.
Yeah.
I'm the extreme left.
Yeah.
So then that brings us to evolution, and the word evolution keeps coming up over and over again because President Obama is, his views on same-sex marriage continue to evolve, and people are saying, you know what? Kind of sick of the evolution. You just need to get to where the rest of us are. And, by the way, where the majority of the country is, the majority of the country, 51%, approve of same-sex marriage.
Hmm.
President Obama spoke at a college in North Carolina a few weeks ago, said absolutely nothing on this. Today he's saying he's disappointed. That's great.
Okay.
Any number of op-eds out there would have been great if you said something a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Not thrilled with President Obama right now. Mm. Joe Biden was on Meet the Press this past weekend. He was talking about marriage equality. He said he's fine with it, and then he had to dial those sentences back to say he doesn't speak for the president.
Mm.
My tolerance level, not great.
Mm.
Not great.
Mm.
I did go to a really cool movie last night. I will say
folks should
check out Generation Silent, all about the experience of LGBT seniors and the lack of social services, hospice care, more trained healthcare workers to be dealing with LGBT seniors. And again, and I know we've talked about this, someone in the audience, we had a talk back afterwards, and someone in the audience said, well, you know, we're in a much better place here in Vermont. But then, I'm not sure if you and I talked about this yesterday, if you looked at the Brattleboro Reformer, did we talk about this yesterday?
I don't know.
If you looked at the Brattleboro Reformer right there in yesterday, if you go to the May 8th Reformer and you go to the op-ed letter section, it's another letter from that guy.
Yes.
So this guy who wrote a couple weeks ago, and he said there should be a day of dialogue and not a day of silence. And I thought that was really cool. And then I looked up what the day of dialogue is, and it's from Focus on the Family, which is a really horrible anti-gay organization. And so I wrote an op-ed and they printed it. So then he wrote an op-ed in response to my letter, and he was saying people need to get the facts and stop doing the name calling that I, Ken Schneck, did in calling him right wing, and go to this website where you can get the facts from physicians. And if you go to that website, also sponsored by Focus on the Family, and it's all about how conversion therapy works.
And
this is in Vermont.
I know.
And if you read the letter, it reads sensible. If you read the letter, it reads like, oh my gosh, these are facts and these are physicians and I'm in high school and I'm going to read this letter, or I'm not out, or my brother's coming out, or my aunt is coming out, and I'm going to read this letter and get the facts and think, holy cow, this is such a reasonable, measured, sensible idea,
right?
And these look like facts.
Right.
And so my question to you is it irresponsible of the Brattleboro Reformer to print such a misleading letter, Or is the op-ed section the op-ed section and anything goes?
I want to say that the op-ed section is kind of the op-ed section, except if it's going to start slandering someone's character.
But what if it's lies?
if it's absolute lies.
What if someone's lying in their letter to the editor? And by the way, if you're listening to this, go to reformer.com, read the letter, and it would be great if someone else could respond. I'm also getting, sometimes I get this way after I moderate a panel or I'm asked to be a prominent gay. Because I just...
You are a prominent gay.
Right, but you know, like, that I'm asked to be the gay voice. And,
oh, yes.
And so I don't want to respond to his letter. I think I probably will. But it'd be great if someone else could do it, that'd be great. I will do it as well, but other folks who... and you don't have to be gay if you're an ally. That'd be great, too.
Simply not agree.
Oh, gosh. I'm a little bitter today.
You are.
And we just had so much fun. Tom Meisner and I, as you just heard, had such a fun talk about Broadway. But then stuff. Yeah.
But actually, isn't there a movement? Is it California that is looking to ban the ex-gay therapy kind of thing?
Yeah, they are. For youth in particular, which is great.
Yes. So that... There's a positive.
There's a positive.
There's a positive.
Excuse me, that is not the segment that I told you this was going to be that had positive.
Well, I'm sorry, but I was getting depressed, and something good.
Okay, well then let me work to bring you down even more. Over in Iowa, here's our education story.
No!
A gay Iowa teenager, is he an Iowan?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
A gay Iotonian teenager has been told that he cannot receive the Matthew Shepard Scholarship at his Catholic school's annual award ceremony. Prince of Peace Catholic School, let's just pause there. Prince of Peace Catholic School, who's the Prince of Peace? Was that Jesus?
Yes.
Okay, I assumed it was Jesus.
Yeah, it is.
I'm Jewish.
Yeah.
Prince of Peace Catholic School senior Keaton Fuller, he was initially told that he could accept the scholarship at the school's award ceremony on May 20th. According to this foundation in Des Moines, which granted the scholarship, he even learned of the scholarship from his school, and the principal issued a statement to notify the scholarship committee that he could accept the award at the ceremony. But weeks later, the opportunity to formally accept the scholarship at his high school has been revoked after pressure from, you guessed it, the local Catholic diocese. It is difficult to understand, this is his quote, it is difficult to understand how after I've spent 13 years at this school and have worked hard during all of them, I would be made to feel that my accomplishments are less than everybody else's. This whole ordeal has been incredibly hurtful, and I'm even sadder that this will be one of my last experiences to remember my high school years by. The Matthew Shepard Scholarship grants $40,000, which is awesome, to an openly LGBT student attending the University of Iowa the following fall. Fuller won the scholarship based on his academic work, as well as his efforts to reduce homophobia at school and in his community. This is yet another example. I think that we shouldn't go to North Carolina. I think that no one should go to this commencement ceremony. And of course, who does that hurt? Nobody. But commencement is supposed to be not a series of individuals graduating. It's supposed to be commencing as a group and moving forward as a group.
Right.
Well, that's not happening here.
I would actually really support all of his fellow students walking out.
Yeah.
I would really support that. And the parents supporting them in that effort as well.
Absolutely.
This is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. Let's see what the Hunters in North Carolina do. And then over in... Is that their name?
That is their name.
Yay! It's what fun shout-outs for them.
Yeah.
And by the way, we would like to say on the air, what did I give you yesterday?
The new and improved This Show So Gay magnet.
And who will that magnet be given to?
To Jen Marin.
There you go.
Yeah.
And if folks want to win a This Show Is So Gay magnet, the new and improved This Show Is So Gay magnet, stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com, and right there on the homepage, there's a link to the This Show Is So Gay raffle that we're doing to benefit the charity treks Burlington to Portland 400-mile AIDS ride that I'm doing this summer. And we guarantee that every single person who gives $5, that's it, $5, that's all
not
we're
much.
Trying to get. Every single person that gives $5 will win some sort of prize. You will get something. On the lowest end of the scale, you will get a Notes for Life pin. They're very cute pins. But you could win autographed CDs from so many guests that we've had on the show. Billy Myers, the Kinsey Six, Susan Werner. There's a book, The 100 Lesbians Walked Into a Bar. That's signed by Emily Wilcox. Notes for Life t-shirts. This Show Is So Gay magnets. Tons and tons of items. $5. And all the money goes. It's a little bit different. This is not providing services for people who are HIV positive or who have AIDS. This is to find a cure. So I know money, it's really important that we get money to the services that are being provided, because those services, especially here in Vermont and a lot of other places, are being cut left, right, up and down. But this is actually to find a cure. So I'm doing that ride and trying to raise $5,000. I feel it's doable, but not without your help of $5. Oh, I'm so Sally Struthers right now.
Yeah.
So that's at theshowsogay.com. And Jody was just mouthing to me that she needs more depressing news, so I will provide that to you, Jody, in Colorado. Colorado's latest attempt to pass a civil unions bill, it died last night in what the Denver Post called, quote, a late-night game of political chicken. I love that my rights can be political maneuvering. I love it.
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't love it.
Yeah. No, I got that.
All right, so what is your advice for me to bounce back? Because clearly I'm in a mood about all of this.
You are in a mood about
I know.
All this.
I just think it's unbelievable. And yes, I'm really thankful to be living where I live. But there's a whole state. Now, again, the irony is that there are any number of states where this was already on the books. And North Carolina is just the one to really codify it into their constitution. But there's a whole state. There are not 50 states to me right now in terms of like, oh, where should we go next week? Somewhere in the U.S. Well, there's only 49 states to choose from. And the truth is, there were less than that to begin with. But at the same time, I feel right now there are 49 states. South Carolina, you are now called Carolina. By the way, they have laws on the books as well.
Yeah, they do. So, I mean, there's a lot of southern states in particular.
So, I don't want to bum people out, which that ship has sailed. But we got to do something. This is not working. And I have to say, we have to hold President Obama, we have to hold him accountable. He is the leader of this country. It is the majority will of this country that same-sex marriage be legal. Mm-hmm. He cannot, his views cannot continue to evolve. He just needs to be there. He needs to be where the rest of us are. How's that?
Or at least be more specific. Evolve is a cop-out as far as I'm concerned.
I can't stand it.
It's, yeah.
Good job, Joe Biden. We liked what you said.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that you had to dial things back. All right. We got to get out of here. That's as much better as that. That was really uplifting. Good luck with the rest of your day.
Yeah, you too.
Get out there, folks. Go be positive or be bitter as long as you're doing something. No, I'm totally fine with it. Go be bitter. I'm being bitter as a call to action for people to do stuff, to write a letter to this guy at reformer.com, to do whatever it is that you do. I'm all about action. I actually have zero tolerance for people who are just sitting around spouting off. That doesn't do anything.
Yeah, being bitter in a vacuum is no good.
So if anything, we hope that we've educated you on some of the things that are going on right now, and then you can make some sort of commitment. And again, every single time you listen to the show, you need to make a commitment. And the commitment, the lowest end of the commitment, is to tell someone else about something you've learned, or start a dialogue with somebody else about something that we've talked about. The extreme is to really go forth and create unbelievably comprehensive systemic change, but I know that's really difficult. But make the commitment to do something. We're making the commitment to do this show to talk about these issues, and we hope that you will join us. And while you're joining us, we hope that you remember, why be gay when you can be
so gay?
Making my way downtown, walking fast, faces past, and I'm homebound. Staring blankly ahead, just making my way through the crowd. And I need you, and I miss you, and now I wonder if I could fall into the sky. Do you think time would pass me by? 'Cause you know I'd walk 1,000 miles if I can just see.